good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as always, we are so glad that you're there, we're here, we can listen to each other, touch one another. It's wonderful. Hi, Charlene.
Hi. How is everybody out there? Hope doing well.
I hope so.
Either that or that's what God's job is, to make it better, right?
I don't know. Is that really God's job, or is it something that as we as human beings have to desire and plan and put into place? It seems to me that God will assist us if that's what we want.
Right.
What do you think?
We have to choose it first.
Huh?
We have to choose.
Absolutely. And that brings up something. If your life is not going the way you want it, you can always choose to make a difference.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people are out there saying, well, it is what it is and you can't change it, but that isn't true. If it isn't what you choose, then the choice is to go in and say, okay, what is it I need to do to make it different and make it more productive and meaningful for me?
You're absolutely right. Charlene, something I want to touch on that we really didn't get an opportunity to finish last week was our discussion on cords.
Yes, on the cords. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but before we get to the cords, I want to make an announcement to those out there who might be listening tonight. I'm setting up a conference, and it is called Meet the Masters. This is going to be a live conference, and it's going to be very similar to our conference calls. If you've attended our conference calls, you know what it's like when the archangels and masters come in and speak to us and give us information and do meditations. If you haven't been on a conference call, you can check out my Sunday show. We had two times where we had channeled live Archangel Michael, and so there's a lot of excitement in this. If you want more information, send me an email at carolyn@carolynevers.com. Now, my darling, first of all, for those who might not have listened to us last week, explain to me your thoughts of what a cord is.
Well, a cord can be an energetic connection between two individuals or more. In other words, when you're projecting an energy to somebody, you can call it energetic connection or a cord, because what you are is you're connected to that individual in some energetic way. So we can have cords that are attached, and they can be positive, or they can be negative cords that are attached to us.
Let's talk a little bit about the positive.
Okay.
Give us an example of that.
Let's say that you have a couple, and both of them really admire each other. Let's say they have a great deal of respect for each other. Their whole purpose is to make sure that other individual is their spouse. Let's say spouse, or could be between friends. That individual is happy and productive. In other words, what they do is they usually encourage that individual to be their best and to achieve their very highest potential. And so that can be a very positive cord, because what they're doing is that cord is bringing support and love to that individual. And then what it'll do is it supports you and gives you a great sense of well-being.
Is there an energy exchange in that?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, usually it's usually between two individuals or several. It could be anybody, actually. There's a book called Celestine Prophecy that they talk a great deal about energy in that one, and that's a really good one to read on energy. Because mm-hmm. some people can actually see energy exchanged. In other words, if you're doing a, like, pranic healing, or if I was doing a drawing off of negative energy from somebody, then drawing off a negative energy that has been put on there, you can actually see the energy being pulled off from that individual. And some people are very psychic, can see that energy. Some of them see it as like a green line that is being pulled off of that individual and is being taken away from them. And if I ever did a pranic healing or drying off, you had to make sure that your hand was not pointed at you or somebody else that was sitting behind you watching, because it could be projected to them. So you had to, when I was being taught that, you had to be very, very careful about where you were drawing off to. Mostly just draw it off to the universe, and the universe will disperse it.
You know, I've seen pictures of that, Charlene.
Haven't you seen pictures of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I've seen a lot of pictures of that that they've done with Curlian photography.
Right. That's a good example.
And I had, there was a carousel of those pictures done. I'm trying to think of what college that was. I can't recall it at the moment, but they had done a whole carousel of them because they were studying this. And they showed a healer's hands being placed on an individual in the exchange of energy. Fascinatingly, they had pictures of leaves where they had taken a leaf off of a tree, and
right.
You could see the energy coming out of the leaf, you know, the where the connection was to the tree.
Yes.
Then they cut the leaf with a pair of scissors.
Right.
And you could see the energy in pictures, this was all done in pictures, which I thought was so fascinating, coming out of a leaf. And then it got to the point where all the energy had been dissipated and the leaf was shriveled up and looked like a dead leaf. So these sorts of things are marvelous demonstrations as to the things that we are talking about energy-wise.
See, when they were also doing that demonstration, they also showed another one later on where they had a fellow that was doing the demonstrating, and he was sitting in his office, and he was like sitting with a plant on his desk, and he took a needle and he pricked his finger, and then they were taking pictures the whole time of the plant, and the plant actually reacted to his pain. And then he put the needle aside, and he called in his secretary from the other room. I assumed it was the secretary. And she came into the room, went over to the desk where he was sitting, and he didn't even have to prick her finger. When he picked up that needle, that plant knew what his intent was and reacted immediately.
You know, I think those things are rather incredible when you actually see them in film or in pictures doing these demonstrations. And actually, there is a lot of them. It brings to mind another demonstration that I was aware of. They had taken two plants, put them in a room, and someone came in and took one plant out of the flower pot, out of the pot, and had literally pulled the plant apart so that the plant that was not touched witnessed that. Then when the gentleman went out of the room, he came back. What they had done is actually put electrodes on the plant that they did not touch, the sort of electrodes that you would use when you're taking a cardiogram.
Right.
And it was
that's what they use. Yeah.
It was interesting, the reading that came out. It was like this plant was showing terror at this event. And then when the gentleman came back into the room, didn't even come near the plant, but the plant had the same sort of reactions just seeing that individual enter into the room, which just reminds me that most of us cannot see the energy that is involved in everyday life, whether it's a cord with someone that you love or a cord from someone that has a negative intent on you, and we'll discuss that in a moment. But I bring all this up so that we can all be aware that everything we do, everything that we see, everything that we say has an energetic reaction on something, some person, that even ourselves and our body converse with one another, plants that are interacting with us even if we can't physically hear them. And it is the same with every aspect of life that we're working with. And it's something good to think about from the point of view of being very careful of the kinds of words that we say to one another, that they're not going to be words that's going to either tear down their ego or in some fashion harm them emotionally or mentally, that we are in a world that is alive with energy on some fashion, and we are interacting with it all the time. And it brings it back to your work, Charlene, that you do with God.
One of the things that needs to be brought out with that what you're saying is be responsible.
Yes.
And that responsibility is really yours on how you're thinking or how you're verbalizing or how you're feeling. Be responsible for that, because you don't know what kind of reaction or what you might be giving to somebody. I remember one time I was in the store with my granddaughter, and I smiled at this lady, and she said, "Do you know her?" And I said, "No." She says, "Well, how come you're smiling at each other?" I said, "Well, I smile at everybody because how do you know, maybe that's the only smile they might get today, and that's your gift to them." She said, "Oh."
That's true.
Because sometimes that's so. Sometimes maybe that is the thing that individual needed, was maybe a kind word to say, "Thank you. I appreciate you doing that for me." Or just a smile as you pass them by that might give them a sense of well-being, that they're okay, because that might be the only thing they get for that day. And maybe you're the one that gave it to them. So it's a wonderful blessing that you might have given to them.
Well, indeed it is. While we're talking about this world of energy, let us not forget that this energy is circular, in the sense that everything that we give out, everything that we, in every fashion that we interact with either plants or human beings or animals, this all comes back to our physical.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, we're just not an island unto ourselves. We all relate to everything that is around us. You know, I give a good example. I had a plant some friends had given me, and it was just a baby when I got it. So I'd nurtured it for a few years, and pretty soon I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. And I, you know, everybody
hey,
said, how come your plants do that? And I said, "Well, I talk to them, and they know I love them."
Hey, Carolyn? Yes. Your son just put me on the air.
Oh.
My son. He told me to tell you that.
Okay, hello.
Hi.
See, I've got sons in states. I didn't realize they were there. Huh? Well, the next time you see my son, you tell him I said,
you said
hello, and how's he doing?
Well, we were just doing a mutual admiration society about you, and we were saying how much we loved you and stuff, and suddenly
aww,
he said, "Yeah, she's my mom. Did you know that?"
Well, gee, I must be raising my kids right.
Yes,
great.
You must be.
That's so cool.
And okay, who is this lovely lady that we're chatting with?
This is Kim from Louisiana.
Oh, hi, Kim.
Hi.
How are you, dear?
Hanging in.
Just hanging in?
Sometimes, you know, some days are good and some days are not so good. But the reason I called is about if you could have Charlene kind of help me with some reincarnation connections at work. I've got some past life stuff going on with my boss. And
don't we all?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, you're right. We all do. But mine is particularly bothersome these days.
How aren't they all?
Well, so what is the issue?
Basically, I feel like they're responding to me in past life ways, and they're and basically they've been misjudging me too harshly, you know, which I don't think is necessarily fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you you're really asking for is that they perceive you in a more of a more positive way.
Exactly.
Okay.
In a way that matches the reality of today.
Okay, and that they interact with you in a positive way.
That's right. In a respectful way, that, yes.
Okay, respectful. Okay, what else?
Maybe patient and understanding, too.
Okay, understanding. Okay.
Oh, can I add something into that? How about we program something like resolve, that all the issues of the past are resolved and transmuted.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. That would be
perfect.
Yeah,
when you go into the past life, you do that. You just go in and ask God to pull it out.
Yeah, that would be
because
wonderful.
Because if you've had a karma with them in the past, you have to go in and just ask God to pull that past karma and pull it and cancel it and eliminate it completely in all dimensions of time and space and languages. And usually that pretty well pulls the whole thing. Then all you have to do after that is go in, maybe in like in the DNA, where a past ancestor had within that cellular memory interacting with people in a positive way.
Gotcha.
You know, having others come in and treat you with respect, and not only see you in a positive way, but treat you with respect.
Right.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay. Because I've seen that happen a lot.
Yeah.
With people. Because what you're doing is, we're talking about at the beginning of the show, and last week we're talking about cords. And that's basically kind of the same thing. Kind of what Carolyn was saying. It's an energy.
Right.
It's an energy projection between two individuals. And a lot of times, if it's coming in from your past life, they're reading that without you verbally speaking it.
Right, exactly.
But it can also be in what I call our sphere of understanding. In other words, from conception to birth, there might be a lot of trauma going on in that 9 months, or maybe from 9 months to, sometimes it's like 10, 12. It becomes what I call a sphere of understanding. If there's a lot of that that misunderstanding in that time frame, then you start seeing that those that are relating to you afterwards are still relating to you, because that's the energy that is going out, and people are picking up on it.
Gotcha.
And those individuals that want to be controlling and manipulate will pick up on that and then come in to treat you with disrespect.
Right, exactly. And I think that's exactly what's happening.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, can we go in? Do we need to also change your sphere of understanding?
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So have God do that. Anything else, and change it in your DNA, your past life. Also change it in the subconscious mind, so that it has the information. Because actually, your subconscious is probably we end up with the subconscious dictating almost 98% of what we're doing. It's not on a conscious level. Most of it's on a subconscious level.
Right.
So if we change it in that, will that serve you well?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then let me go in, and is there anything else that you particularly wanted him to deal with at this time?
I'm having some sort of physical infection, and I'm not sure what it
is. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
A physical infection?
Okay.
It might be a bladder infection. It might be something else. They did a lot of tests today. If you could help me heal some of that, that'd be great.
Okay, I'm looking at you. Okay, let's see. Looks like, it looks like you have a yeast infection?
Yeah, that's possible.
That's what it looks like. It doesn't look like it's gone into your kidneys, but it could.
Okay.
If it isn't resolved, okay?
Okay.
Have you gone to a doctor?
Yeah, I went to a doctor, but I'm being treated for the urinary tract.
I'm sorry, your voice
tract.
Dropped again.
Yeah, I'm being treated for urinary tract infection.
Oh, okay. Okay. So those are the two areas that you would like to have handled right now?
Right.
Okay. Now what I'm doing is having him go back in. And what he's doing is he's going in and checking out all of the past lives where you've had disrespect. Looks like confrontation. Confrontation is very difficult for you, is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Showing me that. In fact, it's showing that you would give in.
Rather than yes.
Okay, that's what he's telling me. That you will give in rather than deal with the confrontation.
Right.
Now, if it's on the metaphysical, that's why you end up with a bladder infection. Did you know that?
Okay, gotcha.
The physical body usually is manifesting the physical or the emotional level.
Gotcha.
Okay, so if we clear that up, there's a possibility that it'll go in and clear up the infection as well. In fact, you will go to the extreme, he's saying, to avoid the confrontation.
Yes. You have me pegged, Charlene.
That's what he's telling me. Okay, so he'll go in and clear that. So what he'll clear is put in that you respect and honor yourself.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that.
Kim, while Charlene is doing that, have you considered the fact that this gentleman might have, how shall we say, wound up as your boss because there was something to learn from that situation?
Yeah, I think that there's no doubt. I think that there's no doubt about that. That this is definitely a possibility for learning. And I think that it's odd to me that in the one relationship of the coworker who seems to be kind of stirring the pot with the boss, I have two distinct memories of past lives with him where I'm his spouse. And then and then with my boss, I know that somehow I was connected to him and it was a familial relationship, but I don't know if it was
romantic.
Well,
when Charlene is finished with this, do you want me to go to the cherubim and find out what the lesson perhaps was?
Yeah, that would be great.
Because I suspect that there's more to this situation. This arrangement happened because there was something here that you had to learn and deal with.
Yeah. I think I'm totally in agreement with you about that, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do this and then have Charlene come up for air.
Right. That's okay.
In the middle of it.
Yeah. That's okay.
I just find this so fascinating. You know, we were just talking about energy earlier, how the energy that we work with or project actually comes back to us in the physical. And I thought it was interesting the observation that Charlene had made with regards to confrontation and how if you hold it in, how it can affect the physical. So I thought that was rather fascinating.
Yeah, I think it's really true, and I think it's true for me.
We have to, first of all, I would say that we've got to really find out about ourselves. And then after we find out about ourselves, if it's something that we need to improve upon or want to improve upon, to work upon it, and because we can't go forward until we actually resolve that. I suspect that, did I sense that Charlene was ready to, no, I guess.
Yes.
Oh,
one of the things, one of the things is kind of like I came in just about the time you were saying about interacting with yourself, because he said, even on a subconscious level, you have not honored or respected your opinion. If it is a different opinion, you usually are not verbalizing it.
Right.
For fear of the confrontation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So he said that he was putting in the field and in the subconscious, I respect my opinion. I honor my opinion. Others respect and honor my opinion as well. I interact with others in a positive way. They see me and interact with me in a positive way. That's basically what you're saying that your need is, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly. Right. Thank
okay.
you, Charlene.
So he changed that in your DNA and in your subconscious, in your past life. Now, one of the things that had to be pulled was there was a tremendous fear that if you expressed yourself that was not accepted in a positive way, there was a fear of confrontation that was a violence. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Oh, see. He said you feared the consequences.
Right.
That there would be violence.
Right.
And persecution. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's what he told me.
Yeah.
So he pulled that out, and he pulled it out in the past life. Now, if you've had this boss has come in to help you to overcome that because it's an issue with you, because it was in the past. So God comes, kind of, we end up with people in our lives to help us clear this. So this should be pretty cleared for you in those levels, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right?
Thank you so much, Charlene.
Yes, you're welcome. Let me know next week if there's a better interaction with him. What he did was pull the fear. Once the fear is pulled, you're not dealing with that when you have a conversation with somebody that is a difference of opinion.
Gotcha.
You go into it. He said you would go into a state of fear and withdraw to the fact that you didn't even stay in the same space. You would move away.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And he said, let's see what happens when this is done so that you can come in and you'll have a conversation. You'll have a conversation with somebody with a difference of opinion, but you will not fear the consequence. You'll go ahead and give your opinion. You'll respect and honor it, and so will they.
That sounds beautiful. Thank you, Charlene.
Doesn't it sound wonderful?
It does.
Let's see. Let us know by next week if it... I mean, I had a fellow, it started changing the next day.
Yeah.
So the energy, like we've been talking about, the energy right now is so different that what I'm finding that when I do some work on somebody and have God go in and change this, it's like it's almost immediate.
Yeah.
Being honored in the energy field immediately. And there's so many changes in people's lives immediately. So let's see what happens when you go in and have your interaction, okay?
Thank you, Charlene.
Charlene, when you were doing this work, Kim was talking about the fact that there was more than one person there from past lives, that apparently there is a couple other individuals.
She has about three in the office.
Yeah, there's several in the office, and I said to her, if she wanted to, I would check and see if, this all happened for a reason. They all came together as a learning experience on some level. And, I asked her if she wanted me to check with the cherubim and see if, they had some information on this situation.
Yeah, I would be delighted, Carolyn.
Yeah, so, let's see if we can find anything. Maybe there is nothing. Maybe the answer was simply what Charlene and God worked with and accomplished. But maybe there's another word here for you to contemplate. Let's see what we can find out.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, and you probably have heard me give this description before, because the cherubim portray themselves as females in earth, towards the earth inhabitants, because they have this sense of protecting as a mother-child relationship.
Yes.
And they show themselves to me in white, very tall, slender, and they actually, she has pulled two books out. The one book is yours, of course, and the other book is information on earth records of a group of individuals. Let's see what she has to say. She's opening up your book, and as you might expect, Kim, there's a lot of light in there.
Yeah, thank you.
As the page, as the cover opens, well, first of all, I see the light with the book closed, but as the record is open, there is a lot of light. And it's like I've got to wait until this clears.
Yeah, you've done me before on the air, and you always say that.
Well, it happens the same way each time, right? Yeah, it's almost it's so bright. It's like a mist.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, and it's like it has to park. Oh, this is interesting. I hadn't seen this before. It has parted, and they are showing me a white background, and there is gold letters. And the letters look like what? See, I really don't know. Carolyn Evers doesn't know Hebrew, but when I look at the words, it reminds me of letters that I have seen written in Hebrew. It has that kind of look to it. And girls, I can't read Hebrew. You've got to change this to English, huh?
Well, Carolyn, tell me, how come there's green up the top?
Well, darling, I can't. Now, see, when you talk to me and you're asking me a question, it breaks the it breaks the flow. I have lost it. Well, I'm sorry, Kim.
It has
just broken. Perhaps you can call in another time and
and
we'll
do
this. Okay, darling.
Thank you so much, ladies. Have a blessed evening.
You too.
And I will stay in touch.
Okay, dear.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. The number here is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. And that's a toll-free number. So, Shirley, maybe you could discuss a little a negative chord, your explanation of a negative chord.
Well, it's the same principle. It's just that sometimes those chords can have, sometimes what I do is I see, like, it's like a rope and that somebody's gone in and tied knots in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody's got a real negative energy connected to that individual, then maybe it's in sections, and you have to go in and cut all the sections so that they're not connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's a negative energy field, then that needs to be disconnected, kind of like what Kim was talking about. Somebody has a negative relationship or is projecting negative to her, and she's picking up on how they feel towards her. And so that has to be canceled, and a new energy put in there. And you could have to do that in the past life, but, you know, with the subconscious, also with the DNA, pull it out of the DNA, so that she can have a more clear pathway for her to interject the positive energy instead of the negative.
Well, we have someone who has a question, and who's calling, please?
Hello, Carol, this is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you? Hi, Charlene.
Hi.
There was a conference call with Archangel Mikhail, I think it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
And during that conference call, he said that I had cleared less than 51% of my karma. And that's one of the reasons why I'm calling. I was wondering if maybe Charlene could clear maybe the mistakes and negative attitudes and thoughts that have led to karma arising.
Well, Charlene, I think that's directed at you, dear.
It sounds like it. Well, it depends. Who's the karma with?
I don't know where it originates. He just...
You're just saying that he said that you had several karmas with...
No, he had asked a question, the kind of question
okay.
that's difficult to really respond to, because he had mentioned percentages, if he had cleared a certain percentage or not. And I can't recall now what the question was, the percentages that he gave.
It was 51% that a person had to clear.
You know, can I ask you a question, Mark, before we get into this?
Sure.
Maybe you can clarify this, why a percentage is important to you.
Well... with regard to this particular issue, it's my understanding in order to ascend, you have to clear a majority of the karma, and 51% is past the halfway point.
Well, let me say this. You've read something, and I respect that, but... you are assuming that it is correct and it applies to you, and, you know, maybe that's accurate and maybe it's not. So perhaps it might be, perhaps the question should be changed in the sense that, like Charlene said, we don't know what karma you're referring to or who the karma was with.
See, you can have different karmas. Because if you're giving, you're only through with 50%. 50% of what? 50% of karma of fear, of confrontation, like Kim was talking about. 50% of low self-esteem or not being able to speak clearly, or to have people see in a positive way.
Well,
there's many ways that we come in with karma to clear.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clear? Am I explaining it correctly?
Yeah, I understand. Well, I think in this particular case, it's referred to all karma with regard to, you know, any karma. That might be.
Well, I guess I wasn't clarifying what I was saying earlier is, and this has nothing to do with you, Mark. It has to do with the written word that you heard. It's judgmental in a sense. It's quantitative in a sense, and it's difficult dealing with an issue from that perspective. How about if we take another perspective and clear it from a different perspective? Because, as Charlene is indicating, it's almost impossible to clear in that fashion. Now,
so you're asking, okay, what you're saying
in your own mind, you have some sort of thoughts as to what you might want to clear. Do you feel impatient? Do you feel sometimes that your thoughts are closed, that you can't express them? Let's take Let's take one issue and clear that. How's that, Mark?
Okay. How about grief?
Grief. Now, that's something that Charlene can work with. Okay, Charlene, I'll turn it over to you.
But say it again.
Grief.
Grief?
Yes.
Like you grieve over?
Yes.
Grief, sadness.
Right. Remorse?
Yeah, remorse.
It has anything to do with resentment?
Well, my hunch is that our belief is that if, loved ones have died in past lives, or there's been situations, maybe, you know, in my reading that Carolyn did for me from the Cosmic Records that mentioned I was part of the Templar Knights.
Yeah, see, the Templars are carrying around a lot of grief and sadness, agony. They've been brutalized and tortured, and many of us tortured to death. And so, yes, the grief, the sadness. I think this is a good one to choose, Mark. Let's run with that. Because what happens is there's a pattern formed, and if you sense this, it is a pattern that you attract to yourself lifetime after lifetime. So, okay, Charlene, let's go with this. I think this is a good one.
Well, part of it is, especially when we go into a grief, the grief might be the fact that because of something that has happened to others and we felt responsible, or that we saw it and could not save that that individual several, then the grief is very intense.
Yes, and a warrior would feel this way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And would feel a great deal of remorse and grief because he couldn't save those he's trying to protect.
Yes.
With something else that comes up, Mark, and I think this is part of it too. The Templars, as you said, protected. They also were they were betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
They held up the faith, great ideals, and then they found that those that they served had betrayed them.
Mm-hmm.
The kings that they had fought for killed them, along with the church. So there's a lot of issues there, Mark. This that forms a pattern through different lifetimes. So
mm-hmm.
Let's add those, Charlene.
Yes, because then the grief is so intense within. The intent in the past life is so deep,
mm-hmm.
that it resides within each one of the souls of the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Then also what it does is it comes forward in things that you feel that might be occurring in your life now,
mm-hmm. yes.
because of the fear of the grief that you will feel. So a lot of people will walk out of the heart chakra. Will and heart mind will not allow you to go and feel love and to receive and give love because of that tremendous sense of grief and loss.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, we also felt responsibility for our comrades that were lost in battle too. In other words, we weren't strong enough to save them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we carried around that problem also.
Mm-hmm.
That we can just go in and start clearing the memory in the cell.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot there, Mark.
Okay, let me go in there and have that done, okay?
Okay, thank you.
See, I understand these issues, Mark. I deal with them myself.
Uh-huh.
And many of the Templars have been warriors through
mm-hmm.
many periods of time. If you had a life as a Templar, there's a good chance that there were other ages
mm-hmm.
when people needed protection that mm-hmm. same soul came back and participated
mm-hmm.
again. So it forms a pattern. You probably don't consciously recall your companions that fell in
mm-hmm.
battle.
Not yet.
Well, no, but they're. At that period of time, there was great grief and remorse about that. Mm-hmm. And especially if the Templar Knight had any degree of authority.
Mm-hmm.
If they, commanded other men in different units or in battles, and if a battle was lost, those souls, valiant men that died on the battlefield, that would weigh heavily in a commander's action also. There's a burden that they carry because they came from that perspective from serving.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so aware of these issues.
Yeah. I had been told that I actually had multiple lives in the Templar.
I think that's true for most of the Templars. They came back quite a few times. And I would suspect that even outside of being a they were warriors. Whenever the civilization needed warriors to defend, there has been these same groups of souls that come back and fill those slots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mark, how are you feeling?
I felt quite a bit of crown chakra stimulation, and I felt some area in the heart chakra also, and I'm feeling good.
Okay, what I want you to do is just take some deep breaths and envision God's love and being released. Push it out, release all that fear and all that grief and sorrow. Great deal of sadness, and just let it go. You're kind of tucking it in, is the reason I'm making you go through this exercise, okay?
Okay.
It's like you've had it for so long you don't know how to let go of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, just visualize it leaving. Now, I want you to turn around and visualize God's love for all those that you grieved over,
mm-hmm.
the remorse you felt, the sorrow and sadness,
mm-hmm.
has all been given to God.
Okay.
And now you incorporate His unconditional love, light, and energy into your heart, in your heart chakra,
mm-hmm.
in your heart mind. Coming down into your spiritual body, your mental body. It's now incorporated in your emotional body, your physical body, your aura and your energy field. You're now grounded to your life's path. You now have God's light, love, light, and energy that surrounds you. Now, how are you feeling?
Very good, very peaceful.
Yeah, you're probably feeling pretty peaceful by now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm, yes.
It's kind of great to be able to give that to somebody and you not have to carry it anymore, right?
That's right.
So we're grateful for that, aren't we?
Yeah, very much.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Okay, well, thank you,
Mark. Before you go, dear, there's something that I want to tell you, and I think that this is very important to help understand these times. These brave, gallant, beautiful men that died.
Mm-hmm.
They volunteered to do that.
Mm-hmm. I felt that.
Yes. They volunteered to do that. You were not responsible for it. And I think the other thing that is helpful, it has been helpful for me to understand that, accept the fact that they made that contribution.
Mm-hmm.
That they volunteered for that was all part of something that has now been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
It has been integrated. And, you know, that's another thing. We honor them.
Mm-hmm.
We accept their contribution. And we bless them for what they chose to do and came to finish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's all part of that piece.
Mark, when you're doing this, you just didn't, and I need to really emphasize that, what she was talking about. Actually, what you did today was because you came in to clear that. You not only cleared you, but you cleared your ancestral line of that energy.
Okay, that's good.
And so it becomes a clearing not only for you, but actually hundreds of other people that have come through your DNA that was cleared at the same time.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you.
So you cleared thousands of people today. It wasn't just Mark that got taken care of.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So when she's talking about past life or anybody that came forward from that DNA was also cleared so that it is not in your field anymore, and it will not go into the next generational field.
That's great.
Yeah, you did a great job, and we thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you.
Mark, do you ever sense them?
I have some feelings. I can't see anything in particular, but I sense things.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you know, when calls we have, the conference calls, I tend to sense things a little better than see them.
Uh-huh.
I feel the presence as opposed to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can sense, you know, certain feelings regarding the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the battles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I, at this point in time.
You know what a little fanny pack is, don't you? You put it around your waist.
Oh yeah.
I was putting one of those on, and I held it in my left hand and put my right hand around the back of me to grab the belt.
Huh.
And when I did that, I could see myself putting on the sword that way. It was really it was incredible. Because I could, instead of the fanny pack, I saw the sword, and I could just see myself bringing that belt around the front and fixing the sword on the side. It's
mm-hmm.
incredible.
Mhm.
Wow. Yeah. Well, bless you, Mark.
Well, thank you very much.
Have a better day, dear.
Thank you, Charlene.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Charlene, we're at the point when we have to say goodbye to all those wonderful folks out there.
Went too fast, didn't it?
Yes, and so give the people your phone number.
Oh, yes, not 801. Oh, wait a minute. What is my number?
It's right, 801.
It's 801. What is my number?
Keep going. All right, I'll get it.
I must still be in.
You're in la-la land.
I must be. Don't even know my number.
Okay, Charlene's number is 801-944-9346. So if you would like to call Charlene,
oh, dear.
Call her soon. She's still in the mood.
Oh, I'll tell you, there's mighty miracles happening right now. It's just an incredible
Indeed.
Journey.
She can work with you privately. What we do on the air is such short times, and for many issues, you need more time. Need to call her and work with her personally. My website, CarolynEvers.com, a lot of good information on there, Journey to the Other Side, conference calls. If you want to come to a more information on a live happening, Meet the Masters, send me an email, Carolyn at CarolynEvers.com.